is Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.
Hi there, this is Velvet, and welcome to Transistor, where I'm going to talk to you about trans folk and make it frank, because I know you all want to listen. And hopefully you're going to listen, learn, and possibly laugh. Trans journey. Middle school. What was school like for you? Was it fun? Was it scary? Was it exciting? Or couldn't you just wait to get the hell out of that schoolyard and get on with your life? I know a lot of us think that, and a lot of us did think that. And for me, going into grade 7 was even that much more traumatic because our school wasn't even built yet. So by the time we were going to go to that grade, that included grade 7 and 8, because here in Canada we have middle school which consists of grades 7 and 8. And we were shipped off to several schools while we were in transition, no pun intended there, to get into our new school, which was had a few more months to go before we were actually allowed to get into that school. So there you are, going to a new school with all kinds of new kids, and you don't know how you're going to get along with these kids, and your dynamic's going to be very different. And there was little old me, just starting to get braces and having my hair curled under, because that was one of the things that my mother liked to do with my hair, and I thought it looked so fucking cool. Here I was with a nice, beautiful little bob and my hair curled under, perfect page boy, and braces and freckles and, you know, almond-shaped eyes that were so pronounced in the corners there, and I get to school and thinking that I'm the cool shit with all my new fashionable stuff, as my mother always liked to do, because, you know, moms like to make their kids look really good. And there started, wow, all these new kids picking and making fun and doing all these other different things. And it also didn't help either. I like to wear clogs. And of course, wearing clogs, you know, the guys didn't wear that back then. And I didn't think anything about what my gender was. And I didn't make very many friends. I made one friend who happened to be in the next grade older than me, but also she was 2 years older than me, and she didn't really care. But there again, it was one of those things where, oh my God, you can't have friends that are older than you. These things are really terrible. So my folks got involved in that. So that was a friend that I actually kind of lost. So I spent a lot of my earlier, you know, time in this grade 7 school alone. So that made it a little bit difficult, and the people that I was friends with were starting to go through puberty and do their different things and start thinking different things and do all those other stuff. So yeah, I became quite the introvert and started developing my own artistic interests, and I don't fault that. You know, it made me grow as someone who's very creative, and I really, really, really like that. But it also didn't give me the tools to really deal with people and to be friendly with people and to know how to interact properly, because I became extremely shy. And something, believe it or not, I'm pretty shy to this day. So anyway, our new school was done. And what we did going to that new school, and I'll never forget this event. It was so stupidly traumatic and so dumb anyway, but they paraded us down the streets of all the neighborhoods, and we all came from four different schools to go to this new middle school. And it was like this huge parade to get into the school with cars and fanfare and police and blah, blah, blah. And there was little old me with the curled under hair and braces. And I hated it, because that meant new kids were coming to the school. So what happened there? More new taunts, more new shit. And yeah, it made it different, and it made it more traumatic for me, and it also made me that much more introverted. And it took a while for me to get out of my shell, but we're going to talk about that a bit later on when you get into the real world and start dealing with real people, because we know that kids can be cruel, and I don't know that they're cruel, it's the fact that they're honest. They say what's on their mind right there, right in front, and then you're hearing it, because you can't hide behind things when it comes to dealing with kids, and especially at that age. And I do remember in school, you know, one thing that I used to love was the assholes that used to taunt me the most. They're always the ones sitting there with the biggest hard-ons in class, because, well, when you're in puberty, you can't control what's going on in those pants. And there, the teacher knew that they were a dick, no pun intended either, and would make them stand up in front of the class. And that was my time to shine. Oh, look, someone standing up and they got a serious chub sporting in those pants, and it's pushing against those pants, and they're standing up in front of the class trying to conceal it. Ha ha. Not so much. Anyway, so, you know, that brought up gym class and things like that. And for me going through puberty, I wasn't getting hard on. I wasn't growing hair. I wasn't growing hair on my face, even in my underarms, nor puberty or pubic area. I grew tits. I started growing boobs. My nipples started to get huge and start to swell and do all these other different things. And how do you conceal that when you're in gym class and then everybody's taking notice and they're starting to pick on you yet again? And you're sitting there with these little mosquito bites that are turning into something bigger. And it didn't take, you know, a month or so for that to go away. No, they lasted for a couple of years, well into high school. So what was I doing? Well, I was doing what, you know, most female to male transsexuals do, and that's binding. So I was binding my chest down with tensor bandages to keep it all flat. And I couldn't figure out why the hell that was going on. And so those were my gym years in middle school with tensor bandages on, and I didn't really take too much, you know, take part in too much activities. If there was something that I could do alone, like climbing ropes, I could do that. But when it came to wrestling, I was terrible at wrestling. Well, partly because I like to get smothered by the boys, and so that was really quite fun. And then I always like to lose, because, well, what's wrong with having a nice, big, muscular, sweaty teenage boy over top of you? Anyway, that's another subject. So anyway, at the end of my years in middle school, I figured I needed to start doing different things. So that was when I started to try being cool, and the whole idea of cigarettes and smoking, and we were all outside the back there, all the sort of geeky kids who were trying to fit in. And I got to tell you, most of those geeky kids that were trying to fit in and be cool and smoking out the back there, they're well above and beyond the idiot bullies that are in school who thought they were the cool ones, because the ones who thought they were cool are now big, fat, and doing nothing and have way too many kids and are all pretty much broke and poor. And all of us geeky kids, well, I gotta say, a little pat on my back, we've kind of progressed further and grown on in lives and dealt with what was dealt to us in school. Translation. Hair. Is hair simple? Most of us think it is. It's not. Sorry to burst that bubble. Most of you just go for a haircut, get it colored, get some highlights. You know, depending on what it is you're doing, you're thinking you're looking so good. And generally, you're getting something by that barber or that hairstylist or cosmetician, whatever choice of terminology you want to use for these individuals who are doing your hair. But it's not so easy for someone who's starting to go through transition, because, you know, you're used to being a boy, or you're being told you're a boy when you know differently, or you're being told you're a girl and you know differently. And so the whole idea is, you're not exactly knowing what your hair is supposed to be doing for you. And when you're going through all these different changes, how do you make your hair work for you? And what are you going to make it look like? Because you've been told, well, as a little boy, your hair has to be cut short and it has to be above the ears, parted to the side, parted to the center, things like that. And if you're going through the opposite side of it, where you are, you know, a little girl being a boy, well, then you're used to having your hair long and in pigtails and ponytails. And what do you do? Well, I can tell you, in my situation, for those who were going through it still are going through it, hormones and all those other lovely things and pattern baldness. Yes, pattern baldness. I say it like that because it does not just affect males. It affects females. Everybody goes through some sort of pattern baldness, whether it's male pattern baldness or female pattern baldness. So generally, when I'm telling people, as a hairstylist myself, yes, I'm a hairstylist, because I knew that if it was going to get my hair look this good on a daily basis, it was going to cost me $1 million. So I figured I may as well get into that industry, not to mention the fact that it was something that I really liked creatively, and I could do things and I could help people and make them look good instantaneously. And looking at my mother's books and things, because that's what she was, I love the science behind cosmetology, and I love what it was doing for people, and I love that I could make people feel good just like that. And in my situation, and those that I know around me that are also in the situation, it's hard to analyze your face and hard to figure out what is going to be looking good for you. You've got your layer length to consider. You've got whether you've got big ears, a prominent chin, a jawline that protrudes forward, whether you've got a big head, a small head, a wide forehead, a high forehead, eyes that are far apart, set far apart or close together, a nose that's pretty wide, flat or pointed, or if you've got a profile profile that's convex or concave, whether you've got large lips, an Adam's apple, for example. What do? To soften these things? And I know that when, if you do have the hair, well, you're generally in luck because we can work with it. So we can go in and have a little bit of a consultation. I can look at you and I can say, okay, well, you're like, your layers need to be this long. And then when we take it into consideration with your length needs to be this long. And then we can proportion that. So we can take either the top shorter in your layers, and we can make your length shorter so that we make you look like you've got less of a long oblong face from the front. Or we can do the reverse, so we can stretch out that face. We can also create a whole different set of graduation in the back and go from there. And then that doesn't even talk about the whole idea of coloring or perming or anything like that. And yes, I've been talking about people with hair. Well, we're going to go back to the whole idea of pattern baldness. And that does affect a lot of people. And those out there that don't have the hair, well, they're left with dealing with, well, wigs. And wigs can be either synthetic or they can be human hair. And one thing that I'm going to say to most people, if they haven't gone through any sort of cosmetic procedure, especially for trans individuals, is that nose. That nose is generally very prominent because it's a masculine male nose, and we don't want to make it look bigger than what it is. So I'm going to tell anybody, and this is going to go across borders from trans folk into regular folk, whatever regular folk is, stay away from accenting your nose because it generally makes it bigger, and it also makes your face look longer, look through the front. But for those individuals who know that and have hair, they've already dealt with it. For those individuals who know that and don't have hair and they're dealing with wigs, well, you know, we're going to work on that and we're going to have fun with that. And that is going to look really good. So I kind of think that people who are wearing wigs have a little bit more out there because they can get custom looks and they can change it up easier without damaging the hair that's actually growing out of their scalp. And it can look really good and it can look really fun. You can have a multitude of colors and textures and shapes and things like that. And if you want to be creative and want to be fun, you can even go out and get like crazy colored wigs. I mean, I've got, although I have my own hair to play with, I've got over 60 wigs at home that I play with. And I generally do, well, I guess for those of you who are in the know with music out there, Katy Perry, if you look at her, she's got all kinds of colors and wigs going on. Cher, for example, for those of you who are a little bit older, play around with it, have some fun. You know, then there's extensions as well. We can talk about extensions, but we can only add those onto your own hair if you've got hair that's growing out of your head. And we can make it longer, we can volumize it, we can thicken it, we can change the color, we can do all kinds of different things. So people need to be prepared that, you know, when you're looking at a gorgeous head of hair, chances are something has been done with it. And I know in my case, there's been a lot done with my hair, but really, it is the best accessory that a person can have. Transitions, hormones, yes, the little secret ingredient that gets all of us active sexually, looking who we are, being who we are, acting who we are. It gives us the sex drive. And that sex drive generally comes from testosterone. And testosterone is one fun little hormone that, you know, gets everybody horny. But that's not to say that that's the only hormone out there. You know, we've got estrogens as well, and we've got progesterones. We've got different things. And guess what, folks? Everybody has a small percentage of each one in their own body, men and women, depending on the concentrations that you have. Of course, men have the testosterone, which is the, you know, the hormone that gets you horny, thinks you about sex, all those other different things. And it also is the hormone that makes a man develop into a man. Gives them the arm hair, the underarm hair, the leg hair, the pubic hair, the hair on their head, things like that. And the estrogen for a woman, same thing, does all those different things. But for those of you who are trans or like myself, you are in for a treat because those hormones do the opposite of what you actually want. And for me, the testosterone, well, being an individual who's a little bit different, I have chromosomes that are actually very different. They're XXY. Most people are XY, for a man, and for a woman, anybody who's normal has XX. Well, I've got the added one thrown in for me. So that kind of explained why I was growing boobs in middle school. It wasn't a thrilling thing, but I didn't know that until I actually met someone down the road in my later life, my adult years, that could actually help me analyze that and send me to the proper testing to figure that all out. Didn't bother me. It just, as a girlfriend of mine said to me, turned me into Superwoman. She's like, wow, you're Superwoman. That's so cool. I love it. But, you know, to get going in the direction that I wanted to do, I needed to start thinking about taking hormones and changing my hormones and altering those hormones. And for me, that, and for anybody that is going through male to female sort of transgender issues, they start you off with something called spironolactone. Now, what spironolactone is an androgen blocker. And it was originally designed to be a blood pressure pill. And what they were finding was that the individuals who were taking it were actually growing tits. So here you have these middle-aged guys, you know, Italian dudes, any ethnic guy you can think in there, throw in there, and they're so macho doing all this other stuff, and they're on these blood pressure pills, and they're growing boobs, and couldn't figure out why. Well, one of the side effects with spironolactone happened to be that it blocked the testosterone, so that actually the estrogen could get in and do all these multiple little changes, and that used to be the one that most of them were all dealing with, and it was so interesting and so fun to read about that, and I actually quite loved hearing that, and not knowing that that's what they give to people in my situation, so that it can block the testosterone, it can allow the estrogens that they're also prescribing to us to take. Now, I was taking stuff in pill form, estrogens as well as progesterone. And the concentration is, you know, done with by a doctor. You know, hopefully you got a good doctor that you're going to, and they will actually do serious amounts of blood work. I was getting up to 7 tubes of blood taken each time I was having blood work done. That was generally every 6 months, not to mention your analysis. So you could figure out exactly what the levels of estrogens that were in your body and actually how much you were excreting or peeing out. You know, we do hear all these different things about the estrogens that are going through a person's body, and that's generally coming from things that are oral form. And when you're taking pills, you only so much can be absorbed into your body, so it generally goes out, and you let go of the rest of it through your pee, your waste. And they're complaining about a lot of that in the water these days, but that's a whole other subject we're going to talk about. So from there, I decided that I didn't, after my SRS surgery, that I didn't want to be on these pills, because I had dug deeper to find out that the origin of the pill, the estrogen that I was taking, actually came from horsemare urine, pregnant horsemare urine. Doesn't sound too appetizing, does it? And I don't think it is. And really, I'd rather go with something natural-based. So I decided that I was going to go on to another oral pill that was based around yams. And there's a seriously high concentration of estrogen in yams as well. So the makers at the pharmaceutical companies are all smart, and they figured out how to get that out of the yam and into pill form. Well, because it's difficult for individuals that are on, on any sort of treatment to understand what's going on in regards to how their body is adapting to it, you have to go through blood testing and everything else. But also at the same time, taking a pill is a lot harder on the body than actually doing a patch. So now, and one other lovely thing that's made the market is bioidentical hormones. A lot of women are taking those after they have gone through menopause. So it makes them a little bit more regular, keeps the skin soft and supple. They don't go through the symptoms of menopause, i.e. the elevated body temperatures, the mood swings, that kind of thing, keeps them a little bit more regular. And so that's where bioidenticals come into play. And taking the pill, which is hard on the liver and the kidneys and all that sort of filtration process, as I get older, I realize that I want to be more conscious. So I decide to go on to the patch. And, you know, I've got all these different things. I've got, you know, umpteen patches here that I got to change every 4 days at these different rates and things like that, that I got at milligrams. And also with that, I also have to take testosterone again, something that we worked hard to get rid of in my body, but it took it, got rid of it so low that my sex drive, even though I think about sex all the time, my sex drive is different from your thoughts of sex, just so you know, took that away as well. So what I have to do is I have to supplement with testosterone and the progesterone, because progesterone works in conjunction with estrogen, and those are in a cream form, and they need to go through a mucous membrane. And since I don't have the mucous membrane in what is now my neo-vagina, and I'm not going to put it up my nose or in my mouth, there's only one other place for that to go. Do you know where that is? On my ass, in my asshole. And I have to wear a patch now on a full-time basis, which I put on the base of my ass. Kind of looks fun. It's kind of cute, kind of sexy. But that's how that goes. So getting your hormones adjusted is not a simple thing. Once you get into it, keep it monitored closely. Transformers. Jimmy Jane. You're probably wondering what Jimmy Jane is. Well, Jimmy Jane are these lovely manufacturers of sex toys, of course, out of California. And I love their name, Jimmy and Jane. Jimmy Jane, here you go. They have lovely different things, and they have rechargeables, they have silicone-made things, they have massagers, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, ceramic massagers. I love their massagers, and they are so fun, they are so good to use, and they're non-powered by a motor, they're non-battery operated, they're powered by you, the user. And I think that is so cool. And they come in four different kinds of massagers. And when I got a hold of these ones here, I didn't really know what to expect looking at it. But what I can tell you is by putting them in your hand, they feel good. They are white ceramic, double glazed, double fired. And there are four different shapes. There's the contour I, the contour M, and the contour G, of which are two rollers. Now, how you're asking rollers, right? So what do we do about the rollers? Well, I'll tell you in a second. So the contour I is like a bone. It looks like a bone. Except rounded on the edges. And then what you do, think of it as a mini barbell. You can roll it with your hand on the skin. You can roll it under your foot. It just feels really good. And they're strong. It takes little pressure and little strength to actually use it on your partner's body or even on your own body. You can roll it along and it'll relieve stress in the muscles. It'll break up the calcium deposits that happen in your muscles if you've been working out too hard. And you can just have fun with these. You can use them with or without lotions and potions. It's all up to you. Now, the contour M looks like prongs. Now, I say prongs, but it's more like nodes. And it fits beautifully in the palm of your hand. It's got a lovely dip in it. And in there, you can actually use one of their candles. They have these candles that are made with vegetable oil. Now, there's a difference between wax. There's a difference between animal fat. People look at it and go, well, how can it do that? How can it melt like that? It must be wax. Well, no, it's not wax. Well, then it must be animal fat. Well, no, it's not. It's a vegetable oil. And what you do and what's done with these ones here is they have an essential oil that's actually been put into the actual candle itself. Once you light it, it warms it up, it softens it up. Now, and then they have a lovely little pour spout that's put into the corners of these candle holders where you can pour it onto your body, into your hand, onto the actual contour M and let it cool, and then put the contour M into your hand, let it warm up, put it on the body, and it'll slowly trickle onto that skin. You can use it for nice deep massage, nice deep muscle massage. It's lovely, and the essential oil smells good. So there's always something in there to sort of entice you and make it smell good and make it feel good. Now you're probably thinking, well, are you going to talk about those contour G's that are the rollers? Well, how the contour G's work, they have different patterns on them, ridges and nubs, and you can put them into the contour M, which is really, really fun. And then you roll it along the skin. So you're actually getting the roller. You're also getting the nodes on the contour M and the contour G rolling across your skin for a real heightened effect. And really, this is a great way for couples to stimulate interaction between the two of them as well. And this is one of the reasons why they designed this, because what we're also finding out there, and through my studies as well as through the makers at Jimmy Jane, is that couples have a little bit of a lack of communication. And to stimulate communication, they are using these massage devices now to do that. They're not They don't have batteries, as I said before. They don't have motors. It's making you, the user, use it to your fullest potential on your partner or on yourself. And that way, your person's going to, that you're with, is going to tell you whether they like this or they like that, or they're going to use it stronger here or use it there. Or maybe we'll try it in a place that we don't want to talk about. You know, it can be fun. Use it on your ass. Use it on your shoulders. I mean, I know for myself, when I'm standing there at the taboo sex shows demonstrating these things, I'm doing it through clothes, and I can always get the guys interested, and they come by doing their smart mouth talk, and the minute I start rubbing one of these on their shoulders, they shut the hell up. It's fun. And the women always comment on that. It's like, how did you get him to be so quiet like that? Because I guess men are generally motor mouths, right? Anyway, so that's all fun. It's all good. And the men tend to go for the contour M. Don't know why. We don't know why. The contour I, the women tend to go for that. And the couples in general both go for the contour G, which are the rollers. And they have fun with those, and people love them. And the fact that they are ceramic, double glazed, double fire, they're easy to clean. You can put them in the dishwasher if you want to. You can spray them down with your rubbing alcohol, using soap and water, whatever you want to use. They are strong. And one of the things that I like to compare them to is Corning. Now, the Corning white, French white Corning, they are strong, they are good, they are white, but that's what you're going to get in regards to feeling what these are like. And I highly suggest that you have a look and check out Jimmy Jane. Transparent. We're going to do a little bit of a recap on some of the things that I got going on out there. I'm always out there doing things, having a good old time. And it just so happens that this month I've got a few things coming up. And one of them that I'm going to be doing happens to be the TNT Naked Truth Awards. Now, I'm up for the award of webcam performer. I'm going to say this, I don't know how and why that I got that, but I'm going to take that dubious title, and hopefully I'm going to win that one. I'm going to have fun with that. And you can check out Naked Truth. These are the people who are putting on the TNT Awards at nakedtruth.ca. And if you want to look for them on Facebook, that's Naked Truth Adult Entertainment Awards. And this is an event to include exotic entertainment, drink and food specials, door prizes, t-shirts, and so much more. And if you want to join us in honoring the best in the Canadian adult industry, then do so, because we're holding this at the Flamingo Hotel, and that's at 10768 10768 King George Boulevard, Surrey, BC. And that's going to be on Saturday, the 21st of July. And that's this month. And it's going to be starting at 3 o'clock. And it's $10 at the door. And from 3 till 7 p.m., there's a meet and greet. From 7 to 11, the awards ceremony. And 11 till 1:30, a networking mixer. That promises to be really fun. Another thing I got going on this month as well is the Sunday Night Sex Show with Maureen McGrath. And that's at 8 p.m., and that's on CKNW AM 980. And what we're going to be talking about this time around is transvestism and what's going on with crossdressers and what the big insurgent is and how accepted and how widely available it is for everybody to get out there and how many people are totally all accepting of it. And we're not just talking about crossdressers that are men dressing as women, but we're going to be talking about women that are dressing as men. So tune in this Sunday to the Sunday Night Sex Show with Maureen McGrath at 8 p.m. CKNW AM 980. And that's at www.cknw.com. Transmissions. News items. News items from around the world. There's some crazy shit out there, and there's some stuff that people get up to. I don't know why, but yeah, anyway, the first one up here is the Australian Salvation Army chief. In his own words, gay people should be put to death. In a discussion for Australia's Joy 94.9 FM, a senior official in the Australian Salvation Army suggested that sexually active LGBT people should be put to death. The discussion between LGBT journalists Serena Ryan and Pete Dillon and Major Andrew Crabe, I believe, the Salvation Army's Territorial Media Relations Director for the Southern Territory, followed the singer Darren Hayes, saying that the organization should be boycotted because of its attitude to homosexuality. Here's part of that discussion from Joy 94.9 FM in Australia.
I do want to talk to you about the Salvationist Handbook of Doctrine. Are you still using the Salvation Story as a way of coaching your soldiers and the people entering your membership?
It may be one that some people use. Yes.
Because it's really interesting. I had a little read last night, all 170 pages of it, and I came across a couple of chapters that kind of worried me, one of which is the problem of evil. And it talks about human wickedness and it posing an enormous problem for Christians. And it refers to the Romans, which is Book 1, 18 to 32. And it talks about the evil of women engaging in natural sexual relations with other women and the same way that men abandon natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Look, it kind of concerns me that although they know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death. That's in Romans 18 to 32, and that's in your book of doctrines. That's part of the handbook that you give out to your soldiers. Now, if I'm a fledgling homosexual and I feel that I might need some religious dogma or guidance, and I go to the Salvation, and I haven't declared my sexuality to myself, so I'm not going to declare it to you. If I go and I read that, and I connect with my sexuality, Andrew, then that says, according to the Salvation Army, that I deserve death. How do you respond to that as part of your doctrine?
Well, that's a part of our belief system.
So we should die?
We have an alignment to the scriptures, but that's our belief.
Wow, so we should die. So this is on page it's on page 28 of the Salvation Story, which you can download online. It's wonderfully available. I love that.
And I do too. I love that it's wonderfully available. And I love how she talks about fledgling homosexuals. Anyway, so further to that story, Australian Salvation Army apologizes for spokesman arguing gays should be executed. The Australian Salvation Army has apologized after a senior official told an Australian LGBT radio station that gay people should be put to death. Asked by a presenter if the organization believed that the LGBT people should die, Major Crave said, "You know, we have an alignment to the scriptures, but that's our belief." Major Bruce Harmer, the Salvation Army's Communications and Public Relations Secretary for the Australian States of New South Wales, Queensland, and the Australian Capital Territory, issued the following fact by way of an apology. Question: do Salvation Army full members believe, as per Salvationist Handbook of Doctrine, that practicing homosexuals should be put to death? Answer: Salvation Army members do not believe and would never endorse a view that homosexual activity should result in any form of physical punishment. The Salvationist Handbook of Doctrine does not state that practicing homosexuals should be put to death, and in fact urges all Salvationists to act with acceptance, love, and respect to all people. Anyway, so onward and upward. Inspiring teenager trying to raise funds to attend progressive Quaker school. I love this story. The fact that someone of this age is that astute that they can go out there and actually research this. So listen up. An inspiring transgender teen is seeking help to fund his dream of attending a progressive school in North Carolina. American 14-year-old Asher Doyle is trying to raise the money to attend Arthur Morgan School, a trans-friendly Quaker boarding school. Doyle says being 14 isn't easy, not for anyone. Puberty, middle school, and all that crazy stuff for trans kids like me, it's even more complicated. The teen found out about his gender identity at the age of 2 and has found it difficult to be at public schools. Here's some audio from Asher's YouTube video.
I'm Asher. I'm 14 years old. I'm transgendered. Right now, I am fundraising to go to a boarding school in North Carolina. It is an excellent environment for me as a trans person. It's very accepting, and the classes are excellent for me because it's not overwhelming for me. We always go outside and do hands-on learning. We always take hikes in the woods. We learn about how the world works, and the structure in that school is amazing for me. And structure is just what I need right now because, well, without structure, life is chaotic.
I love it. He said, "Luckily, my mom has been very supportive and has learned a lot about trans issues over the years, and I'm so grateful for this. If I hadn't been raised around a bunch of queers or if my mom was transphobic, I honestly don't know where I would be." Doyle said he's not feel safe coming out as trans when most of the teachers and staff are not prepared to support him. He says, "This makes it much harder for me to make good, trusting friendships with kids at school, so I wind up feeling pretty isolated, and this causes more stress and loneliness and frustration in my life." After Arthur Morgan School heard of Doyle's campaign, they gave him a $10,000 scholarship, but he still needs to raise $13,000 or more. So far, thanks to family members and LGBT rights groups, he has raised $7,000. This means he is over halfway to his dream of attending this school. Pretty fucking awesome, I gotta say. Brings back issues of me going through school, and, you know, for someone of that age to actually get out there, research it, and check it out, and know that they're going to go to a school that does not have any bullying, I'm all for it. And last up, we got a Malaysian transgender singer fined for being feminine. Figure that one out. Malaysian transgender singer Hafiz Jeffrey was fined by the Islamic Syria High Court for dressing in women's clothing and having feminine mannerisms. The singer, also known as Kajol, repented and has a prison sentence reduced to a 1,000 Malaysian ringgit, which is $313. Government-owned newspaper The Star reported in Malaysia's Syria courts have jurisdiction over Muslims only and can pass sentences up to 3 years in prison, fine of up to 5,000 Malaysian ringgit, which is $1,564, and up to 6 strokes of the cane. Yeah. Transcriptions. Where I get to hear from you, the listener, and you can do so by writing in to me, or you can click on the button and you can send us an audio and I can listen to it and answer as best as I possibly can. I've got a letter here from an individual writing in about hormones and if it's safe to use black market hormones without a prescription. Well, there's two things in that statement that I'm really concerned with. Well, number one, they're black market hormones. So anything you're buying off the black market, you don't know exactly what's in there. And you don't need to get anything off the black market with a prescription anyway. So that's going to be free. But, you know, you got to be careful of what you're doing. I mean, and by all means, if that's the route you want to go, you go for it. But if you don't know what it is you're going to be ordering and taking, having not been to a doctor, or if you have been to a doctor and your doctor's not prepared to write you a prescription for it yet, then maybe you need to keep on your little pursuit there and check things out, or get a doctor who actually is going to listen to you and figure it out and find out if you need to be put on anything in the first place to start off with. But stay away from the black market. You can never be guaranteed of quality, ingredients, what it is you're taking, and you don't want to self-diagnose yourself either and start taking something that could actually have some seriously adverse effects to your body, i.e. your liver, your kidneys, your skin, your mental. Because trust me, when you start taking hormones as an individual who knows from first-hand experience, getting emotional over a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial really doesn't cut the mustard. And it's like, why? So stay away from that. I would suggest that. And talk to your doctor and figure it all out, because, you know, you can end up hurting yourself quite a bit. And who knows, you may never get it into the country anyway, because a lot of people are buying prescription drugs in other countries. And when it hits Canada Customs, well, they have an obligation to go through that and check it out and possibly seize.
Listening to Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.